Well, hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network episode 105. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. And this week, we're going to take a look at Spotify's Loud and Clear report. And really, is this the final or the point of departure between Spotify and indie artists? We've also got FCC, as you can see, on the show to discuss his sound design and making sense in a similar style to Boards of Canada within a DAW. And then finally, we'll talk creative limitations and how they can actually be helpful in the creative process. Thanks to everyone who's joining us live, especially all of our patrons who help support the show. I just want to mention we're a couple minutes late. We had some technical difficulties, but we're here. For those listening back on Apple and Spotify, you don't have to worry about that, but there's a lot of fun with the live stream. There's a massive amount of chat, so I just want to say hello to everybody in the chat. We'll just go through them quickly. Smiling Errors is here. How is it going? We've got Bendu. Hi, all listening while distracted today. Probably quiet in the chat. We're just happy to have your presence. That's what matters, my friend. That is what matters. Let's see. We've also got Thomas in the chat. That's not the right one. He's tired, but he says, hello, everyone. And we've got Survey Channel somewhere. There's a lot of chat, so I'm trying to find all of them. Survey Channel, you're somewhere. Hold on. There he is. Says, waiting for the boys. We're here. Hello. We're here. Welcome. Welcome. Shady Ridge is also in the chat. Always awesome to have you with us. Everybody here with us. And FCC is also in the chat while he's here. We've got a lot to talk about today. So quickly, my name is Sun Warper. With me today, besides FCC, we've got Curtis and Eon Lake. But let's get right into this Spotify because this came out, I think, yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry. Also, really quick, Ace of Stripe. Hello, how is it going? And Pat, what's going on, everybody? Let us know how you've been. This came out recently. It's interesting. It's written in a very pleasant tone, like, hey, we've had this massive success for artists and things like that. But when you start reading the way they're spinning it, oh boy, it gets bad. It gets bad, especially for independent artists. What do you want to do? Do you want to just read through the top 10 things first, and then we can kind of, as we read through it, talk about what they're saying? Because there's a really interesting part where they basically equate any small musicians to amateur footballers or soccer players, however you want to put it. Yikes. So maybe we should just start and read through it. Is that what you have queued up there, Curtis?
Yeah, that is what I've got queued up here. It's the Loud and Clear site itself. The 10 things. So why don't you go through and take us where this comes from?
Yeah, let me just open it on my own so I'm not reading this tiny little chat. All right, so first off, they've got Spotify's record payouts. I think every year they've been saying they've made a record payout. For another year, okay. Spotify set the record for the highest annual payments to their music industry from any single retailer, $9 billion, I believe that is. That figure has nearly tripled over the past 6 years and represents a big part of the $48 billion that Spotify has paid since its founding. Every year Spotify has paid out more and more money in streaming royalties. I think one thing they're neglecting is that at least in this coming year, they will be paying that out to a much smaller group because you have to meet their new streaming threshold. That's the first one. Anybody have anything they want to add to this bit before we move on? It gets worse as we...
Whatever the figure they tell, it's they're paying half what Apple Music do, who are paying less than Tidal and so on. You know, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They're the worst. We know this. Mm. Don't care what numbers they use.
Yeah. All right, let's go to number two, Curtis.
Here we go. So we have a
more money,
which makes it very official.
Yeah, just I know. They always have a very nicely designed website because why pay royalties when they can pay someone to do the website, right?
It's just glitter.
More money.
It's distracting you from the reality.
Yeah, it's glitter and all that, right? The glitz. More money at every level. Spotify royalties are powering artists' careers at all stages. In fact, the number of artists generating revenue at every threshold shared on this site from $1,000 through $10 million per year has nearly tripled since 2017. These figures represent revenue generated from Spotify alone. When taking into account earnings from other services and recorded revenue streams, these artists likely generated four times this revenue from recorded music sources. So I like that they're just starting at the $1,000. They're not mentioning any other royalty payouts. And again, this is going to change again this year because I believe it was in quarter one. I don't know if they've actually started it, but they made that announcement last year. And if you're not familiar with this whole new streaming threshold they created, I'll put a link after the show ends in the description and then on the show notes for those listening to the podcast. But basically, every song each year has to get 1,000 streams. And until it reaches that number, you don't get paid for any stream. And if that number is hit after the first month of the song's release, you don't see any of the money from that. So let's say you get 700 in the first month and then 300 in the next month. I believe you only get the 300 and so on. It's very weird. And it's not per artist, it's per song. Okay, anything before we move on? FCC, anything you want to add?
Yeah, so it's probably 8.9 billion to Taylor Swift and then the rest to everybody else.
Pretty much, yeah. Let's go to number three. Let me get there on mine. Breaking the language barrier. I mean, this is cool. The fact that streaming lowered barriers to entry is old news, but the impact on artists' livelihood and the global diversity of that impact is becoming more clear. Of the 66,000 artists who generated at least $10,000 on Spotify alone, and likely 40,000 across all recorded revenue sources, more than half are from countries where English is not the first language. So, I mean, nothing really bad there. It's nice to see more global. Yeah.
Essentially, that's just streaming, right? I mean, it's not Spotify specific.
Exactly. It's them perhaps reaching newer regions, like them opening up to far regions. I do think the interesting bit here, though, is the 66,000 artists generated more than at least $10,000 on Spotify in the year of 2023. I think that's an interesting number.
Yeah.
So how many? Well, there's a part where they talk about that they're focusing on the 256,000 artists who are like making a living on Spotify. We'll get there. But I think this is an interesting number because this is where it starts to become clear, like, who's actually making money? I mean, $10,000 is not a livable wage.
No.
And only 66,000 artists, they're saying, made that on Spotify.
Out of how many artists globally exactly that are on Spotify?
And we'll get there. They start saying this. So see, as we read through, there's little pieces of the puzzle that start to kind of come together. I'm not sure what our likes are, but Thomas says, can we get 10 likes on the video today? If you do get value out of the video, please leave a like. It does help a ton. Share it. Share that we're live. It helps. Curtis, anything you want to add before we go to number four? We've heard from Eon and FCC.
It's just the first bit of spin. Like the idea of opening up to different non-English speaking countries or where English is not the first language, as if this is some democratization of anything. It's just an extra market for them. More money from exactly. The people
they're being altruistic or something, or they're trying to spread culture to these poor undeveloped worlds. It's yeah, so
we are serving we are serving
you just run out from your neck.
I mean, I like seeing that more countries have access to music and stuff like that. I think yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I get what you're saying for sure. Let's go on to number four, because here's where we start getting, this is kind of interesting, a record year for indies.
Yeah.
In 2023, indies generated nearly 4.5 billion on Spotify. This marks the first year ever that indies accounted for about half of what the entire industry generated on Spotify, which totaled 9 billion. Hold on, I lost the page. For the first time ever, the catalogs of DIY artists and artists signed to independent labels represented about half of all revenue generated on Spotify in 2023. How interesting that they accounted for almost half of the revenue. And then, oh, wouldn't you know, in the next year, they're changing their royalty payouts to be less in favor of independent artists.
Yeah.
Am I crazy, or am I reading something here that seems a little off?
Seems a little bold, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Obvious.
And they say that 4.5 billion represents a 4x increase since 2017. Number five, right. Curtis.
You know, it's 4x more than Sodol. Right.
Times it by zero. That's what you get.
Zero multiplied by four equals.
All right, here's a interesting one. Many of the artists who generated at least 1 million on Spotify in 2023 aren't household names and didn't need a quote hit end quote song to have a big year. 80% of them didn't have a song reach the top 50 of Spotify's daily global song charts. they say the unexpected millionaires. I'm going to skip a little bit of this because it's almost the same, just repeated. $9 billion, $9 billion, you know. But they say in the second paragraph, of the 1,250 artists who generated $1 million plus from Spotify alone, over 1,000 of them didn't have a single song that reached Spotify's global top 50. So 1,250 artists out of however many generated $1 million in a year. Curtis?
I mean, what gets me is the language specifically, and likely over 4 million across all recorded revenue sources. They're now just making stuff up. They're now just like, they're just throwing numbers. That is just a paragraph of numbers, which means nothing. To me, that's just information overload. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
Well, I think just piecing together some of this is interesting because we have 66,000 artists that made, what was it, $10,000 in a year? Mm-hmm. A couple pages earlier. Now we know 1,250. Our artists, 1,250 artists generated $1 million from Spotify. So I think we're seeing some interesting numbers here. Whether it means anything or not, I don't know. But I mean, we talk about royalty payments and how low they are. Just imagine the difference if royalty payments were comparable to Apple or something like that, or fair. Let's move on. Yeah, or fair, right? Let's move on to number six.
All of these numbers they're talking about are only the top 1 or 2%.
Of
anything. They're looking at the top 1 or 2%. Everybody else, they're not interested in.
Yep.
It's funny how that, I mean, it's funny how that just kind of keeps on going throughout everything.
Just wait till we get more to the end, because it all kind of comes together with the football. All right. Next one. Nearly $4 billion over the last 2 years for music publishing. Spotify paid out nearly $4 billion to publishing rights holders who represent songwriters over the last 2 years. So now we're going 2 years instead of a year. I guess the bigger number sounds better. Songwriters through their publishing rights holders are generating record-breaking revenues. I'm just looking if there's anything really important here. Last paragraph, publishers, songwriters, and their CMOs are seeing more than 2 times the revenue in the streaming area, in the streaming era, than they ever had in the CD sales era. So they're saying $5.5 billion in 2022, $2.5 billion in 2001. They actually give a source, though, per the global value of music copyright. Anything you guys want to add there?
I mean, the vast majority of these publishers, songwriters, and CMOs, etc., are the big guys like Warner Brothers and Universal, for example. That's not coming out to us. That's not coming up to us. That's not saying we're not doing it. Like, that's not going to distribute.
All I'm hearing is billions, billions, billions. A few people made a million.
Okay, yeah. This is a perfect segue to number seven, because this is where we really start getting their, I guess, demarcation, whatever you want to have it, with independent artists. And this is like legit. Wow, they actually said it and worded it this way. Curtis, see if you can scroll down to that 225K emerging artists, or can you hit OK? Yes, there we go. So yeah, that last circle in that top section. Now there's more we can scroll down on all of these, but we're just going quick. I'll put the link in the chat if you want to check out everything they say. But here's what I thought. I was just like, wow. So on Spotify in 2023, 10 million uploaders had at least a single track. Now we're starting to get some numbers you were wondering about, FCC. 8 million had less than 10 tracks all time. 5 million had less than 100 total streams across their full catalog. So now they're saying that 5 million artists have songs that have less than 100 streams across however many songs they've added. Here we go. We're focused on those most dependent on streaming as part of their livelihood. And that definition, the 225,000 emerging and professional artists. So anybody, according to Spotify, that isn't getting whatever stream numbers they set is not emerging nor a professional artist. You're just an amateur, according to them. They say on the right, more artists are succeeding, and as a result, even more are interested in becoming artists. Sure, more than 10 million uploaders have at least a single track on Spotify, but when it comes to building financial opportunities, we, Spotify, focused on those most dependent on streaming as part of their livelihood. These 225,000 emerging and professional artists that are building careers. As a point of comparison, FIFA estimates there are hundreds of millions of people who self-identify as footballers, but 128,000 people are actually getting paid any amount of money from it. While music and sports are quite different, this demonstrates how widespread the aspiration is to participate in creative and athletic pursuits and make a living from them. Here we go. Hold on 1 second, Egon. Like, wait to laugh 1 second because it's there. But wait, there's more.
Music and sports are quite different.
Another way to think about it, the 10 plus million uploaders on Spotify are comparable to the tens of millions who have uploaded at least a single video to YouTube, often just to share something they enjoy with the world. The number of creators trying to build a career as a video creator is much smaller. Now, this, I find a bit of a red herring because, first of all, YouTube is free to upload to. Secondly, the amount of, at least typically, the amount of gear or whatever you would need to upload to YouTube is far less than creating music. Creating music, you either need a DAW, you need gear, you need anything like that. Technically, you would need some musical knowledge, which would probably cost money. I mean, it's just completely different.
You're not trying to suggest that there's some sort of logical fallacy at play here.
I am indeed. I am indeed. Why, thank you.
For the sake of argument.
Yeah, it's definitely a red herring there. I mean, the soccer one too, or football. Sorry, I'm outnumbered here.
It's true what they say, though. You know, that there are differences between music and sports. I've noticed that too.
that was a key part that they said. This was the part that I really wanted to focus on. FCC, this is kind of what you were getting at, how many songs were being uploaded. They're saying 10 million uploaders this year. And they're saying of that, I guess, what, 66,000 made over 10,000? Am I doing the numbers right? I am very sleepy from the 6 month old, but that sounds right to me.
I really don't think the numbers matter, do they? Do they matter? Do we
care? I think it's just the way they're writing this is pretty inflammatory and insulting.
The arrogance of Spotify in the first place. I mean, they're so up their own backsides. They're so self-important with all this horseshit they trot out. They act like, you know, they're spreading culture or whatever. They're just a bunch of people trying to make money. This is the digital equivalent of a bloke with a van with records in the back. What the fuck?
Oh, I just want to say that's two times now. Eon, like in less than 20 minutes, has gotten us hit with the E. Way to go, Eon. Like, but it's okay.
Sorry. They're massaging the numbers to justify a business model that isn't working.
We know what they're doing. We know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're still trying to urinate up your back and tell you it's raining.
In the design world, we say you can't put lipstick on a pig, but that is exactly what they're doing.
Yep. Yeah. I just want to, ASAP is here for us. He says he heard fudge. So I don't know, you know, who knows? Thanks, what is reality, right?
And that's what I meant to say.
Smiling Air says, fudge. Yes, Eon Lake, let the evil flow. He sounds like Palpatine, let the hate flow through.
Release your hate.
Server Channel, you're probably right. That's why it's fine. But he says the E is necessary for this discussion. So I agree. It just seems like, every month or so, Spotify is coming out with more and more that just seems like less. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how to phrase this in a slightly gentler way, but it's just more and more insulting towards anyone that isn't, you know, on a massive record label or something to that degree. I mean, it's just crazy. And it's unfortunate that it seems like such a turbulent time in general with music that we're seeing all of this change. But I think somebody had mentioned too, I mean, this is a little conspiracy theory maybe or something, but, you know, like, they are probably trying to get less music per day, per whatever, added. Because I know, Eon, like you had mentioned before, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of data and all that to get all of that up. And I remember there was an article surmising or supposing that this was going to become a problem. And now it seems like every month we're seeing more and more things from Spotify that seem to be on the, like, first look, like just screwing over independent artists. But when you start thinking about all of this, it's like, I mean, yes, it is. But maybe they're doing that on purpose, right? It's like, oh, why would Spotify be doing this? Well, they're trying to get less and less uploads.
In a way, it makes you want to put a lot more music on Spotify, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fill up their servers.
They're trying to remove the low-hanging fruit, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they basically want to reposition themselves as that. They only want to carry the top, you know, 10% of money-making. They don't want to deal with all the rest of this stuff. They really didn't think it through, and they've burdened themselves with all sorts of nonsense. They're now trying to change tack, and hopefully it's too late for them. And, you know, this is just the last dying throws. But time will tell, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. And Curtis, I want to hear from you before we read the last few.
Oh, you just muted. Was there more? Did you cut out?
Nope.
No,
I had to cough, okay. So I was trying to be quick with the coverage.
Hey, for me, it's what gets me. The numbers, I mean, the numbers. Mean as Thomas said in the chat, like the numbers.
I was going to read the comments after after you.
So the lack of transparency means the numbers mean bugger all. I am just somewhat amazed and about the corporate gaslighting. We all are self-identified as footballers, but only 128,000 odd are actually getting paid, and therefore they're only actually footballers. So linking that to the notion, if you've ever uploaded anything to YouTube, you have to be an amateur. So really, this is your fault. It's your fault for not uploading to using Spotify and trusting in our model in the first place. So it's nothing to do with us. This is all about you and where you're at. And it just stinks of corporate gaslighting. And
I just wanted to add to that. I mean, what really gets me, sorry, Curtis, but it's not even gaslighting, but the fact that they just make this point to say 225 emerging and professional artists. So anybody that doesn't fit that bill is neither emerging nor professional. Yeah. But what about all the artists who make money on sync licensing or library music or something, who couldn't care less about streaming or, you know, make money touring? Or, I mean, you don't have to be, it's like, if they're not making money on Spotify, they're not a professional artist. It's just like this is it.
In a nutshell, the thing is, they're saying, right, if Spotify doesn't work for you, that's a you thing.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. That's what they're saying, and
they're gatekeeping music. They're saying, you know, this is what success is. The rest of you are a waste of space. You know,
it's an opinion that
anyone could hold, but that doesn't make it true, as you say.
It's the gatekeeping of music
that really irritates me. Well, no, it's not that. It's more just this pomposity that they have, that they're doing the world a favor. They're not absolutely pillaging an art. They're doing the world a favor. They're making everyone's lives better, and they act like they're doing it for free as well. It's just, I almost don't care what they do, as long as I don't have to hear from them ever again.
The one thing I think is it's good to know what's going on, right?
It is, absolutely. Yeah. But it's better if you can get, you know, a kind American chap to read it for you so that you don't have to sit through the whole thing, because
that's what we're here for. Nice city, I like.
They sound offensive. That's what it is. Yeah.
I want to read a couple of comments. And then, do you guys want to read the last couple? There's three more. I think it'd be good to read the
honestly.
Last.
Well, there's more.
But wait, there's more. It's like an infomercial. Yeah. That's what we're running. A very negative infomercial.
Let me check my blood pressure first.
Yeah, get off camera. Go test and come back. Let me just read through some comments. I know I shared this one already, and Curtis covered it, but I think this is really important because we're all hearing just from Spotify with very little source to it. Thomas says, no one really knows what is real or not because there's no transparency regarding what the numbers truly represent.
Yes.
We've also got, I shared this, but I was trying, I wanted to say, it's very brash and bold of them, but Ace of Stripes says, more brash and bold, new normal. Spyinger says, you have filters, quite wise. I left a very abusive comment that never made it. Well, that's not good, but that is, I believe, on YouTube. They're the ones that they have some settings and stuff, because like I said, we have to be careful that, like, Eon, like, here ruined us, but we're not monetized. It's fine. If you want to support the show and help us do more of this, or, you know, cover what's going on with Spotify and brighter topics like sound design with the FCC and things like that, head to our Patreon. The link is in the description, but patreon.com/audionautic. A lot of our awesome patrons are right here in the chat. And if you guys want to come on the show to give your opinions and all that, the link is on the Patreon to join in the green room. HF says your seaside music. I think that was in relation to something Ian Lake had mentioned. Pat says, I suppose they cannot wait until they can have AI making the music so there are no payouts. I mean, yep. We'll see. Who knows? ASF Stripe says, yep, it's an FU to artists and sounds like damage control as listeners are leaving. That I don't know about. I haven't checked demographics and up and down. I'm not doubting you. I just don't know it. So, yeah. All right. Lastly, nearly half of the artists who generated 10K on Spotify in 2017 are now generating more than 50K and likely 200K across all recorded revenue sources. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Right. I don't know. Is there anything to add to that?
Great. Well done. So the ones who are already making money are now making more money. Fantastic.
Well, that's also probably because of the new revenue stream. Because they're taking money from artists making less than 1,000 per song and giving that supposedly to artists making more than that. So
yeah, all this career growth nonsense, like that's what they're here for. They're here to make money. Mm. They don't care about your career. They don't care about anything.
Yeah.
Next one. Other than money.
The streaming opportunity. A radio station spins the top 40 tracks. A record store carries the music of a few thousand artists. But don't worry, at Spotify in 2023, 50,000 artists generated at least 16.5K from Spotify and likely 65K from recorded music overall.
Like, so, I mean, we don't know.
I know some radio DJs that are hopping mad at that one. Absolutely hopping mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that someone somewhere is making money from Spotify, but yeah. Anything else before we go to the last one?
Let's just get it over and done
with. Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on to happier things. So the last one, growing number of streams. The number of annual streams needed to rank in the top 250,000, 100,000, and 10K tracks over time. They're saying over 600 million listeners across 184 markets. What might have been a lot of streams even 6 years ago looks pretty different today. In the early days of streaming, a million streams of a song could take time to reach. But in today's landscape, over 329,000 songs were streamed over a million times in 2023 alone. One of the most frequently asked questions is, how do my streams rank in terms of popularity? As you can see in this table, it's changing fast. With Spotify listeners streaming trillions of times a year, it's hard to put big numbers in context. If you want to see how your track stacks up, check out streaming numbers in context. So there we go. Those are their 10 top takeaways from 2023. I think that's covered pretty much everything. Is there anything, Ian Lake, you want to add?
Well, it was loud. I don't know about clear. I would
definitely. There we go. Curtis, anything you want to add?
Ironically, transparency is what's required, eh?
Yeah, just to branch off that, it is very loud. And the only thing that's clear about that is that it's bullshit. Absolute bullshit. And we've already got the
email. Yeah, we're past that.
It's just numbers and bloody, bloody, blah. It's rich kids who are talking within their rich kid bubble about rich kid things, expecting the rest of us just to carry on and understand what they're talking about. And we don't, because they're up in their ivory towers doing all their stuff. And we're just doing our thing. And it makes me sad and sick, really, to be honest, just because I'm like, they're trying to connect, right? They're trying to connect. They're trying to be that friendly guy. It's like, hey, you're safe with us. And it's like, nah, mate, you got a Mars bar and a van with blacked out windows. I'm not coming anywhere near you. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not right. You know, it's just not right.
Yeah, definitely. Before FCC, we hear from you, I just want to share. Oh, bye. I'm like, I guess he's got to check his blood pressure. I like that ASAP Stripes. I don't want to see how I stack up. with a nicer term there. Yeah. FCC, what about you? What's your thoughts?
I think it's really sad that we're looking at Spotify dictating all these things. And actually, you know, they're getting rid of the low-hanging fruit, but it's people like us that are, you know, foundering the next wave of artists that are going to be or maybe doing okay on Spotify in the years to come. So I think they're shooting themselves in the foot a little bit, really.
But, yeah. I mean, it seems like that's what they've been doing since we started talking about the rumors of the new royalty stream, and then nothing's changed. So yeah, and Asif agrees with you, says absolutely FCC. So yeah, that's I guess our thoughts, and just look at the Loud and Clear from Spotify. If you have any takes, let us know in the chat as you've been, or in the comments if you're listening back. I think there's some interesting points here. I typically like reading through these Loud and Clears. We've covered it, I think, every year that we've been doing the show. It's just good to know this information. And if you read between the lines like we were looking at, I mean, you start to see some metrics and numbers here, like how many artists are making how much money and things like that. And I just think it's interesting to know, and know because I believe Spotify has the biggest hold in terms of streaming, like where the most people streaming and things like that, the highest demographic and things like that. So just get to know that this is what they're doing, and you know, what else can we do instead of them, or where can we look instead? Bandcamp, having your own website, Apple Music, you know, like, I mean, I don't know. That's what we talk about. And if you have ideas, I know Bendu in the Discord brought an interesting new Bandcamp alternative. So we'll take a look at that in the coming weeks as well. But yeah, that's our thoughts on it. Curtis, I'll hand it over to you.
It proves to me, at least, that our run of centralization, or sorry, decentralization away from these big corporations and centralization to like your own hub of activity and community, this kind of rams that home. And so in that vein, this show is brought to us by the community. We aren't monetized. We aren't held by external companies telling us what to say or anything. And that is because of it's patrons who give us their monthly donations. And we thank you for it. And thank you ever so much for the work you do. It allows us to keep doing this. I mean, it allows us to do more and bigger things. Like, we got FCC on for an interview to talk about his EP and talk about how he's a sound designer. Like, we can't do that. We can't dedicate time to that if it weren't for you guys. You know, it's the StreamYard, it's the Opus Clips, it's the everything that we do that costs money for overheads, and we thank you for that. If you are watching either live or you're watching back on Apple Music, we do actually still put stuff up to Spotify. But if you're watching back and you like what we do and you want to see us keep going, this is the best way to support us. Head over to patreon.com/audionautic and make a pledge. Starts at $2. And you get straight in to the Patreon groups with the extra content, behind the scenes stuff. We have our own Discord channel in the Discord server. Always sharing tips and tricks. We have Starstream. Tom will talk about more in that minute. And I've been saying this for a few weeks now. I'm still working on it. It's been a busy period. Extra stuff like sample packs, which you get just for being a supporter. And it's really fun. It's a great little community that we're growing. So if you like what we're doing, head over patreon.com/audionautic.
Yeah, we have a public Discord that is awesome. We talk all the time, gear and things like that. It's a positive space where we're talking music production and things of that sort. We share music, but we have some additional channels for patrons, and we have additional podcast hangouts, however you want to call it, where the patrons can come and we do that sort of stuff, talk gear, talk all that about once a month. The next one is, I believe, this Sunday, Curtis. I have no frame of reference of time at the moment. Dealing with
this Sunday.
Okay, good. That's like, I think I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that, but yeah, if you want to help support the show and help us do more of this stuff and keep all of the production things we do and things like that, head over to patreon.com/audionautic. And having you here is more than enough, but it is very appreciative to see you there. Before we move to the next topic, which is FCC right there, I just want to read something from Thomas because this is interesting, and this is why we cover Loud and Clear. If you believe the infographic, this is Thomas, if you believe the infographic is designed with artists in mind, you're mistaken. Its primary purpose is to engage the users and capture their interest. And it continues, in other words, to make Spotify look like the good guys. And yeah, that's why we wanted to cover it, because there's a lot of spinning going on in how they phrase things and stuff like that. But I mean, it's pretty inflammatory, the wording for things, if you are an artist, the way they're writing these things. And yeah, that's why we wanted to cover it. But just knowing this sort of information, I think, is good to know. Like, what's, you know, if you're putting your music on Spotify, knowing the landscape of how it's all working, who's making money, are there people making money? I mean, how, what was the number again? I'm blanking, but that we're making more than 10,000. Was it 66,000 artists, right?
Yeah, that seems about right.
Not even a livable wage. I mean, that's one source of income, right? Spotify. There's a lot of other things, live performances, other streaming and all that stuff. But I think it's an interesting thing to point out that a lot of music is consumed via streaming. They even said like trillions of streams, you know, in the, that last section where they said streaming opportunities are growing. And of those trillions of streams, you're seeing 66,000 artists making 10,000 bucks in a year.
Yes. It's not the Dumb Foundry is hasn't been seen since the high days of the British Empire. It's awful. It's awful. So yeah,
I feel so left out over here, like in this episode. It's just me in America. I'm like,
you stay over. You got a lot of stuff going on over there, and it's still a slightly more peachy and optimistic than what we've got over here right now. So yeah, let's go with that.
I'll just be right here making music. You know, just. Head in the clouds or something.
Yeah. So yeah, let's move to brighter pastures for now, shall we? Because that was a hell of a thing to go through, and we try to keep things positive. This is a safe space to talk about production and stuff like that. And so let's come to our main event of the show. And I'm going to do a banner because I made these banners, so I'm going to use them. But calling this, I'm running with this for now, Community Corner. I don't know if it'll stick, but that's what kind of came to me. Community Corner. FCC, label mate. And I've done it so everyone's a little bit hidden by the text for today. So there we go. But wait, yeah,
put it on one more time. I just want to test if we do this one.
Okay, hang on. Let me put it up one more time. Give me a sec.
It doesn't, FCC, when we have four people, it doesn't make that big of a difference, these options. But if we do like, if we do this...
Wow, yeah, yeah. There we go. Well, there you go, exactly. Yeah. This is the Community Corner. I prefer it to label news, but it's a working title for now. Basically, FCC returns to the Audionautic Records label with an EP that he released last week, Somewhere Boy. Beautifully ambient EP with a beat at the end, just to throw you off guard. Loved it. We're here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to look at some sound design techniques. We've got some questions for FCC. I'm going to shut up and let FCC talk. This is his segment. This is his show. FCC, it's been out for a week now. How are you feeling about the whole thing?
Yeah, it's been quite good. I feel like I've got to try really hard to lift the mood out of Spotify doom.
So
no, I think the other way around. I think after that, anything is going to be like a breath of
yeah. You got it made easy now.
It's all downhill now after that nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just make some noise and enjoy it.
Yeah. Like well, do you have anything you want to say about the album before we get into some of your sound design type stuff and things like that?
I think the album, well, the EP was a bit of a change for me, and it probably comes into what we're going to talk about later, where, you know, we're kind of working within a box, within limitations. So the EP for me was about removing some of my little comfort blankets, like using beats and loops and that kind of thing. So it was quite an interesting journey, which has led me on to do different stuff for the album, the new album, which I'm working on now. So we'll probably talk more as we go through the sound design.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I'll start with the first question, but let me just read a couple of chats, mostly about your new EP, but I really love this one from Asaph Stripe, and he typically writes some really good stuff on Blue Sky that I see, but I really like this one. Our art will outlast Spotify. Yep, definitely. And that's the thing, commodification versus art. I mean, that's a whole different conversation, but yeah, when it comes down to it. All right, let's go a little bit about FCC's album from the chat, and then we'll be right into the first question. Survey Channel says, tell him to take off the mask. We know he's Mike or Marcus. and then Thomas says, hey man, love the album. So yeah, All right.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Thomas.
Me too.
All right. I'm going to start with the first question. So the title of the YouTube video is, you know, Making Boards of Canada Since. I know it's a bit of a simplification, but what I love about your sound and all of your EPs and albums and things like that is there's a noticeable sense of nostalgia and lo-fi and warble to it. And just because we've done these releases together and I've mastered them, I know a lot of it, if not all of it, is coming from in the box type sounds. And I think that can be the struggle, is getting that sort of warmth and tape-like quality to Sonics in the DAW. And so my first question is just, how do you get that type of box style, Boards of Canada style tape warmth in a DAW?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. I tend to drop a lot of the top end out and manipulate sounds quite a lot. And I mean, for me, the whole Boards of Canada thing is quite interesting, because I kind of think of my sound a bit more like a old photo. So, okay. You know, a bit rough around the edges, a bit grainy, kind of muted colors, a bit of things bleeding in from the edges. And it's that kind of nostalgia that I really like listening to. And I guess Boards of Canada are the ones that do it really, really, really well. But I do hear it more and more now in songs on the radio. You know, even though they're kind of poppy, you'll hear a pad sound that's got a bit of warble and a bit of grain on it, and that kind of sound is creeping into mainstream music, which is quite nice to hear. But I think for me it's less about emulating Boards of Canada and more about music that takes you to a time and a place. Mm-hmm. And for me, that sound is a bit warbly and a bit grainy and a bit, you know, not kind of, you know, everything you stick in a door and play is so crisp and clean and digital. Mm-hmm. And it's about getting away from that, because that, to me, that's not taking me to another place or another time.
Well, FCC, you were kind enough to sort out loopback and figuring out how to get you the ability to share the screen. Yeah. So do you mind just maybe quickly, because we have a couple more questions, but going through, because Thomas says, I'm curious to hear or to know what you used to create the lo-fi tape style warble. I was too, which is why I was like, let's do this as the main topic. it's a selfish reason, sorry, but I think it's good for everybody. But you were kind enough to get this all set up so you can show us. So if you don't mind just giving us a quick run through of, like, I know you take sampled sounds and things, throw it through Tau Sampler or something, but I also see tape mellow-fi in the back there in the Reason rack. And
So I'm
curious to hear this progression of how you get it there.
Cool. Okay, so I'm just gonna move over to my other screen. I think I tend to use Tau Sampler quite a lot, because it just, for me, it works, the user interface works, and it's quite easy to use, but it's got some really, really cool little additions. The sample that you start with, for me, the sample that I start with is quite important. So what I've got here is just a kind of a basic kind of drone sound. It's a bit grainy and it's got a bit of a warble in there already. But I tend to, the tail end of samples is normally a bit more interesting. So, excuse me, I'm going to just reverse it, because that tail end is a little bit more interesting. what I normally do in Tau Sampler is duplicate that sound onto another track and then just pan each of them left and right. But one of them just changed the fine tuning a little bit. So there's a bit of kind of angst between the two sounds going on. If you go too far, it sounds awful. To take it right up, you know, it's terrible. But just a little touch in there, it just gives it a little bit of, you know, it's gnarly and they're playing against each other a little bit.
Yeah. Get wave beating.
Yeah. You get weird sonics start to happen in there. And then I start, because sometimes the samples that you use, you know, I mean, this is quite a good sample. I've got to say it's a good starting sample, but some of them, they're quite, you know, they've got a lot of top end and they're a bit whiny. So I start to take things off. So I'm sticking one side of that kind of two track sample into a filter. And I've started to cut that right off.
So Snoopy using it, is it 12 or 24 dB?
I'm not sure, actually.
Sounds quite...
Yeah, so I've got on a low-pass filter. I'm just going to take this out of this ear so I can hear it a bit more. Is that coming through okay, your end?
Yeah.
So you can kind of play around with the filter, you know, to get the sound you like. There's all kinds of, but I tend to drop it right down, take that top end down. And actually what I've got, take that envelope, take the front end attack off to make it a bit more of a pad. But actually where Tau Sampler is really good is you've got all these bits down here. So that's, at the moment, that's a clean sound. But you can emulate all these old samplers, so you can stick an S1000 on there and you've got hiss and jitter, and you can take the bit rate down and the sample rate down, you know, to really get some grain in there. Saturation as well, you know, and drop it back. I'm just going to turn it up this end. But also you start adding in all these different effects. You can then start playing around with it, dropping it down, getting that kind of sound. A bit of chorus is always good. A bit of delay. Don't want too much. Reverb on there as well. And then the mod matrix is really the next kind of interesting thing. So I've got the LFO routing through the tuning and the cutoff. So you can do some quite interesting things. Start to really get that warble in there.
Sounds like you've got so quite good. a lot of knowledge through this. Like you've been diving into Tau Sampler for quite a while then.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. It gives you so many options. Like because you've got different layers of samples. So if I kick this one in on C, so that the sample that I've got on C is basically just vinyl crackle. So you can add in, you know, the sound of a reel to reel or a bit of hiss or a bit of vinyl crackle. So that then now you start to hear a bit of crackle in there. But you can really play around with it, like even with the EQ. You know, just it's just about getting that kind of sound that really works. And I tend to dial it back quite a lot, that top end. You know, cut off, all of those things tend to come down and down and down, because for me it's kind of like that really toppy clinical kind of digital sound, just it doesn't do it for me. And it must be a nightmare for some warper to master, because I'm like that, I'm taking that top end out all the time, you know. And then some warpers go, no, we need that back, we need a bit of that back in, you know. But to me, that's like the photo with the muted colors. It's the fact that something's missing, you know, it makes it feel like it's not present in the now, that it's from somewhere else.
Yeah, because the memory is quite imperfect, isn't it? I mean, well, mine is anyway. Mine's very imperfect.
Yeah,
my memories are a little bit, you know, color faded and, you know, with glitches in sound and
I just want to add too, because you mentioned that you take out a lot of the high end on that, but that's where layers and other sounds in your track come in. Your drums, you have hi-hats, you have cymbals, you have vinyl noise, even you have things like that, and then the melodies are on top adding that bit. So it's like it's also kind of mixing without, like, before mixing you're mixing the synths as you're making them, but you're also leaving space for the other instruments to kind of fill that or add the other elements of a photograph or something like that. So yeah, I also see, I don't know if there's anything else you want to go through on Tal before Curtis cues up the next question, but I see you've got the J37 and Tape Mellify. Do you mind just quickly say, is that kind of like the end of the chain to just get that final bit of warble?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, you can use the mod matrix to you know, LFO the tuning and the pitch and the cutoff and all that kind of stuff. And it works quite well. But actually, you can't beat a bit of, you know, proper tape. I mean, the J37 has actually got let me do this so you can see it. They do have one a tape delay effect that says Pads of Canada, you know, which is great, but it's too much. And I think the trick really, I don't know if you can hear that, but my floor is shaking because a helicopter just went over so low. Anyway,
because you're making that Tomorrow's Harvest sound. the end times coming.
Should have sampled that. So the J37 preset, it's too much. For me, it's too much. I think the trick with this kind of sound design is to find that sweet spot where, you know, the warble works. You know, you kind of don't really want to hear it. You just need to kind of know it's there and it's part of the sound. And I do hear people doing this kind of thing where it's, you know, it's so overly done, you know, and it kind of distracts more than it adds. And I think that's why you got to find that sweet spot, really.
It's too easy to do it badly, isn't it? I mean,
you need
to be able to shape the sound like this. So it's a deliberately warm sound. using sources that aren't necessarily warm and can actually be a little bit toppy. But being able to have the ear for that balance and put the sounds together, like some Warper says, with that balance in mind, and come out with something that just, you know, sounds warm. It still has distinction, separation, but it just doesn't have any of that harshness or trebliness. It's a bit of an art, really. And it's one you've definitely got the hang of.
thank you, Ian. Like, I think the problem is, now it's so easy to just have a VST that does it for you. Grab a plugin, pop that preset on, and suddenly it's like, brilliant, sounds like Boards of Canada. But actually, there is far more to it than that. And especially as, you know, as much as we're designing one sound here, you know, if when you're designing a sound with all of these elements to it, then the next sound you add, you know, it makes it harder for the next sound to gel. And so, you know, the more subtle you can be with it, the more those other sounds start to then become a whole. You know, I've heard tracks where it's, you know, that the warbly sound is on one thing and it's on another thing and another thing and another thing, and they all just clash, and you know, and it, and it doesn't work.
It sounds
like you've thought about this quite a lot, which is obviously awesome in that regard. So to what extent would you say that this methodology, this sound that you've got, is integral to the FCC, and how much of it is a moment in time, an exploration, a something transient, so to speak? No pun intended.
No. I think it's pretty integral to what I do. I think for me, I make music for me, really. And these sounds and the way they make me feel, and the tracks that I make, you know, they all kind of live within this zone of, you know, certain sounds, certain melodies, and that is becoming my sound now. And as much as people, you know, I've had comments on Bandcamp about, you know, Boards of Canada and that kind of thing, but actually, you know, Boards of Canada aren't doing it anymore, so you know.
Yeah, and also I thought, I mean, that they sometimes were deliberately more jarring, whereas your music seems to be more looking for emotive memory related stuff, you know, not just plain weird snippets and collages of odd found sounds. It's a similar aesthetic, but it's going in a different direction, I think. And I think you introduce it a little bit in the EP blurb, and we're talking about how it's a bit, I mean, you've lived long enough to have stuff to look back on, but also, you know, when children start to feature in your life, you start to see things happening for a second time round, with the idea of mortality perhaps being in the back of your mind. You start to look at these things very differently, and I think that all fits very well with the aesthetic that you use and what you do with it. So I mean, you know, it's very easy to make comparisons like that, but I think you know, it's just that, you know, just because someone did something with similar sounds in, but if you listen to them, they were very much, they do their own thing, and I think you've found your voice and are doing something a bit different. It's just
nice. This is my orchestra, you know, and if you're in a four-piece guitar band, that is your orchestra, you know. But nobody says, you know, you're using guitar and bass, you sound just like the other band using guitar and bass, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have this kind of collection of sounds, my orchestra, and that's what I like using. And it is, you're right, Ian, like, you know, the emotion, I think the EP is a good example, because it's about the, you know, I wanted the tracks to have the melancholy, you know, the kind of the that kind of sadness, but also kind of the hope, you know. So there's the melodies and the sounds are always in juxtaposition with those kind of two emotions.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of what I do comes from. It's an emotional poke, really, you know.
Yeah.
trying to, you know, like an old photograph, you know, coming back to the old photographs, you know, when you come across an old photograph, there's a whole jumble of emotions that you know come through when you look at that. And I want that similar experience with my music.
Well, Paul, yeah, that brings up an interesting point, because after Analogs of Traces, your last full length, you were saying how, well, first of all, like, you wanted to kind of get away from the Boards of Canada-esque type sound a little bit, and more the aesthetic of drums and percussion and all that stuff. And you wanted to make an ambient album, and you've made an ambient EP. Well, 3 out of 4 tracks are ambient. And so I'm just kind of curious where you're feeling now after that. Like, what did you feel like you explored in this? How do you feel, let's talk music producer wise for a second too, like structure wise, it must have been a bit different trying to structure it in a way when you're so used to creating vocals, like having samples and vocal samples and snippets and drums and things like that. So how was it approaching it from this different production aspect? And then now that you've done it, if you feel like you've met the goal you were going for, which I think as we talked that you feel like you did, where do you feel? Are you in the same place? You want to keep exploring new things? Do you want to kind of go combine everything?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, because I think even though I'd made the decision to not go down the beat route, it's like I almost replaced the looped beats with looped sounds. And what I did more on the EP was use my reel-to-reel 4-track. Right. And so if you listen to a lot of the tracks on the EP, there's a looped sample that runs through most of the track. And that is on the reel-to-reel. So I get the sample, loop it, put it on the reel-to-reel, and then use that as the kind of basis to work on, which is kind of how I would work before, but I do that with a drum sample.
I know exactly what you mean. I do things like that as well. Sometimes I just need a mood, something that establishes an atmosphere, yes, or a mood, or
yeah,
that you can start to build on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely changed the way I think about it now, because I mean I feel like I'm fairly early on in my musical journey at this point, even though I've been involved with music, you know, ever since I was kind of in my late teens. This part of my journey is fairly new to me. And so, you know, taking drums out and doing more ambient stuff has pushed me on to do even more different stuff now. And the tracks that I'm working on for the new album, there are plenty without beats. There are even tracks where I've picked up the guitar again, which is over there.
Nice.
There's quite a lot of tracks where I've used more ARP kind of bass stuff, but I've used ARPs some tracks have got 2 or 3 ARPs going at the same time, but they all interlink and interplay with each other. And that's me basically not being able to not be without rhythms and beats that interlink.
Am I remembering right that you used to do like drum and bass or something like that in a previous life?
I did used to play bass guitar in a live drum and bass band. Yes.
So does the rhythmical area and beats and so on, does that form a bit of a comfort zone from you that you've sort of deliberately strayed outside of?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think the way drums and bass interplay is quite a draw for me. But to go more ambient and remove those elements, and get, you know, bit more droney, bit more floaty is quite nice. But then, you know, to go the extra mile and do the droney, ambient-y stuff and then bring bass and drums back in, that gets quite interesting.
It does. Thank you ever so much for taking this through your workflow. I think I'm going to have to go and buy a towel sampler for a while and just muck around with it because that looks absolutely dope. As we said, it's Somewhere Boy is now out on Audionautic Records. Somewhere Pro has just put it in the chat for you to go put it, and we'll put it in the description and in the Spotify. But FCC, thank you for that, first and foremost. It's wonderful. And the dedication, because we've been trying to get this sound to work for a while. So thank you ever so much.
I know.
On the consistent times. I appreciate that.
Thank God the technology worked tonight.
We got it, you know. We got there. Is there anything before we transition into the round robin? We'll do a quick round robin before we go off. Is there anything that you want to say about Summer Boy before or anyone listening to it?
Go and buy it.
There you go.
Yeah, just very much. Yeah, Bandcamp. Get on Bandcamp, buy it. Make me happy. Yeah.
I just want to read a couple of chats before we go to the round robin. Ace of Stripe says blending emotions and music is challenging and great. And Survey Channel says, well, now I feel bad for making my joke. It wasn't intended to be flippant. I think you've woven the themes into the music masterfully. I agree. And I don't think, as Ian like said, that it's derivative. I think it's like you said, it's like if somebody had distorted guitar, you know, you wouldn't be like, who was the first distorted guitar? I forget, but you know, it's not some you're not just ripping off that. You're using these sounds to convey your emotions and your memories and all that type of stuff. So, I don't think anything. I don't want to speak for FCC, but hopefully you didn't take it in the wrong way for the joke. But I agree, though. I mean, you do it so masterfully. I've always wanted to know kind of the secrets, and seeing how you work on just how you flow through Tal Sampler is quite impressive. So as Curtis said, I think I'm gonna get it as well soon, but get to that last topic, Curtis, because kind of in that way of using specific gear and things like that, we're going to talk limitations, right? So I'll let you carry the transition. I don't want to steal it from you. I saw that we're on the same wavelength, so go ahead. And if you don't mind just describing for anyone new what round robin is, we'll be good to go, my friend.
Yeah, no, it's just you brought up exactly what I was thinking. It's almost like we spend pretty much every day talking to each other. Anyway, right. So the round robin is our collective community discussion, you might say. So where we take a topic, take an idea, and we just kind of share some ideas and share some topics around in the name of Together We Grow, in the name of all of us learning something or taking something new or taking a little tidbit of information to help us in our own process. Can be philosophical, it can be something to do with programming, for example, how to use Tal Sampler is a really good one. Maybe we need to come back to that one at some point. This week, I want to bring this up. If you could bring up the overlay, some will put. We are looking at. Maybe I can do it. So,
no, I got it. Where is it?
You got it.
I gotta find it. I found it.
There we go. Yep. Diamonds Under Pressure. I want to have a look at limitation. The idea of creating limitations. This is great because FCC has been talking a lot about limitations. Somewhere Boy was created on a notion of not starting with the beats. Necessarily, unless I'm not mistaken, that's what we were kind of talking about before air. The idea of starting from somewhere fresh, and there's been a lot of talk about this, and we're actually doing a challenge in a Discord server based on limitations, which some of we'll talk more about after the round robin. But this is a really good theme that we're working with, and I want to bring some ideas and how we create limitations within our own workflows in order to create new, exciting, dynamic, different music, which helps us grow as producers and humans. Is everyone clear? Is everyone with me? Are we there?
Yeah. Do you want to just have each of us give one kind of quick way we
I
do?
Just, I, Yeah, and I want the chat. I want to know what the chat are thinking about limitations that they put on themselves for what they do. So I want everyone here in this round robin, in this physical round robin with the videos and the microphones and the cameras and the no cats this week, sadly. But but we'll all give ours, and then I want to hear what the chat has to say. And then that will lead us nicely into why we're doing this kind of server challenge. We've got 7 days left on it. So yeah, let's go with it. So who wants to start us off?
Well, Paul, you're our guest if you feel like you've got, if you're ready. Otherwise, I'm sure Eon Lake always has a fountain of knowledge to give. So,
yeah, I don't mind. I mean, yeah, with the EP, it was just, you know, it was taking out beats and removing. I think removing something that you feel really comfortable with, you know, sets up a bit of a challenge, and even, you know, I work in the door quite a lot, and so doing something with the reel to reel. My new thing is I renovated an old 4-track cassette. Ooh. And so I've been making
not too much.
If I can grab it,
hopefully it's still a bit broken.
Yeah, it is a bit broken. So,
oh wow, I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
that's great. The memories.
Yeah. So I've spent quite a lot of time creating one of these.
Hold on, let me zoom in on you again. There we go.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it's that's a loop cassette.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've got a cassette. I just haven't got around to doing the loop yet.
Yeah, I've been criminally underused that cassette, the recorder I have.
It's a pain. It is a pain, especially when you've got a 4-track cassette that stops when the tape gets too tight.
Yeah,
because it thinks you've got to the end or whatever. So there's whole kind of workarounds and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, working with the 4-track cassette as a starting point, it has been really, really interesting. Really, really interesting. So that's like, you know, completely out of my comfort zone, get out the door, all of my favorite instruments, and doing something physical like that has opened up a whole new world of, you know, crazy, crazy sounds.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. Eon Lake, what's yours, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot? I'm sure you've got one.
Well, one thing that limitations give you is they help you tackle laziness. And they force you to explore either other areas or other techniques, methods, mechanisms, or they kind of force you to understand them, the ones that you do use, in more depth. So, you know, it's very easy just to, you know, fall into habits and keep adding things and so on. But when you restrict what you're doing, you have to do more with what you have. You know, doing more with less invariably means more variation, more depth. And I think it fosters creativity in the long run, you know, pushing yourself deliberately away from, you know, any perceived crutches you might have, like Frequency Control Center was saying, and making yourself explore other areas. I mean, it can't help but help you to grow, really, in the long run, if you take it seriously. It just helps you get started, I think, a lot of the time as well. So, yeah, I think it's great for tackling laziness, stretching yourself, developing a greater understanding of what you're doing because of it, and growing as an individual and having a greater understanding of what you do and why the things you like work.
Mm. So what limitations have you placed upon your own psyche, sir?
Well, you know me, I like to come up with all sorts, you know, like you have to start this way, you can only use these things, or, you know, the song format is going to be this, or there can be no format, you're not allowed any sections, nothing can repeat, it's just A to B, you know, all sorts of things like that. So restricting the amount of things I can do, restricting what I can use to do it, restricting even pitches and so on, you know. Two chords was one of them, one of the ones I did.
I like two chord songs. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million ways you can do it, and that's the another great bonus of it is if you start to do it a lot, and Curtis will know exactly what I mean. Now, looking for limitations, it kind of makes
seven
you more
bases instead of eight. Creative.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, six bases. Yeah. You know, crazy.
That's difficult.
Having to think of different limitations all the time, again, is beneficial, you know, just from having to come up with the ideas on a regular basis and so on, and thinking about music in that way, I think helps too.
I also think like tunneling in on the things that you don't really know a lot about.
Yeah.
Can create those happy accidents where you go, ah, I don't know what I've done, but it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did, but I like it.
You do all the time, you're less likely to get a happy accident, you know. Yeah. So it's often when you're exploring something weird or something you've not done before that things happen.
I like that. Some of what's your current limitations?
The car down the road.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you. That was gold. So, what's your limitation, bro?
Well, it's less of these like self-imposed ones and more of a forced limitation. And I think that's important to know, because we never know what's happening in life, right? And you might be forced, just depending on life circumstances, to work in different ways or things like that. And you're probably thinking I'm going to talk about the child, right? But I'm not. I'm actually going to talk. I mean, that's one thing. But what I actually want to talk about is more of a performance and production standpoint limitation. Freeze. I froze. I'm assuming I froze. Oh, yeah, no. I froze. There we go. Am I back? I think I'm back. I saw Curtis's hand frozen in motion, and I was like, I froze. I don't know what is going on. I've moved routers. I've done everything. I got to find out what's going on with my internet. I apologize for that.
There's an election coming.
Yeah, maybe. Speaking of force limitations, right? I think what I'm trying to say is I always get injured and stuff like that. I'm an active person, so injuries sometimes just happen. And the biggest, I froze again, didn't I?
No, yes, you did.
I froze.
Yeah.
Can you guys still hear me when I freeze, or do I freeze?
Yeah. We can still hear you.
Okay, so I'll just keep talking then through it, so I don't keep getting thrown off. The biggest thing for the last couple of years, I've been dealing with a wrist injury that stops me from being able to play a lot of guitar, my main instrument. So what I've been doing, and since too, to a degree, what I've been doing is just the force limitation of I can play for 5 or 10 minutes a day. Okay, I'm going to write something and just record it and then use that, resample it, figure out ways to do it. Like I have something that you'll see tomorrow if you follow my socials and my YouTube and things like that, where I had that limitation, but I took a mini log sample that was maybe 4 bars and then put it in slice mode on the DigiTac and created this like synthwave track that sounds like I was doing these arpeggios, but it was actually from this pad. And then I just kept building on it and using the things that I could do. So take that force limitation and find a way to use it to your advantage, because I never would have made that synth sound that I ended up getting just by producing it in a DAW or, you know, just playing it on the synth. But because I took this pad, kind of like what FCC did, and threw it in the Digi and then used what I could around my limitations, I got the sound I never would have expected. So it got me thinking outside of the box in a way that had I just been able to just play the synth or play the guitar, I never would have made that sound. So yeah, sometimes, I mean, it doesn't have to be forced. It can be self-imposed. But if you're dealing with a forced limitation, find a way to turn it to your advantage as best you can. Because rather than wallowing in the depression of like, I can't play my main instrument, find a couple minutes. If you know, whatever it is, like I find a few ways that, like, I stretch, I do my exercises, then I play for a sec. And it's just enough to get it into the sampler and then I can build on it and make the song.
Can't keep a good man down.
Actually, the force limitation is really interesting, because the biggest the biggest force limitation I find is a window of focus time.
Yeah.
You know, and so actually the you need a lot of workarounds to be able to be creative in that small window of time that you've got some days.
Well, you may not use koala.
That's it. Yeah. I mean,
just get koala, like, man.
Yeah.
Make
yeah.
music anywhere, dude. Sample yeah. anywhere.
Yeah, I've been, actually been using that a lot more.
Have you?
Like, just yeah, because I take my boy to football practice and I'm sat in my camper van and I'm just making like kind of jazz hip hop.
Yeah,
breaks and
I chop up drums and make like, you know, drum one shots and then just record a bunch of drum ideas and then I can just you know, resample those or put the MIDI in or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Curtis, what about you? You brought this to the table. I'm curious to hear what your final one is.
Right now I'm working with spatial limitations. That's my thing. So I'm, for example, past couple of days, week or so, I've been getting, when I get the tram to work and back, I've been making a track on using the flip sampler, and I can only use sounds that I get on the tram, and I can only make it on the tram, for example.
Ooh.
And that's where that comes from. I've got another one where I've got my laptop, my work laptop open with Ableton, and I can only be making it. Let's just hope no one from work is listening. I can only be making it during one of those meetings, which should be an email. And that's the only time I can open it. And I've got what?
You and Lars, man, you guys and your work.
And it's fun because it's really focused. It's like, so my tram ride is like, it's easier, right? Because that's like 15 minutes, right? So I can get sounds, I can tap here, I can get a bell there, I can get a foot stomp there. It's easy, right? But the subtle ones where I'm in a meeting and I have to kind of have one eye on what's doing and one eye on my computer. And it's like, no. And I've learned that 3-finger swipe with that you can do on an Apple Mac, for example. And it's like, you know, I'm making this little lo-fi beat, you know, putting this in and, oh, okay, yeah, back to the spreadsheet, that kind of thing. And that's, for me, that's fun because it's like, it's a little bit mischievous. I like being mischievous. And, but also it's like, it's they're the small little pockets, small little universes that I come into, and they're only there for a little bit, and they're only there, and I can't touch them again. I can't bring it back here, for example. It means I'm also not around all of this all the time, which is really nice. And, you know, I have been experimenting with taking this and putting it over there, and, you know, just having this as production and instead of playing or composition. But it also, I'm taking it one step further because then I can go and just. I can only use Ableton. Okay, I've only got Ableton right now, right? So I've got the keypad to play the keys, for example. That's that kind of thing. And I've got to use key shift, I'll use scalar, that kind of thing. And all these different things that I wouldn't do, all these MIDI inputs that I wouldn't do normally. Because usually I create the audio, but I'm working a lot more with MIDI now and that kind of thing. It's yeah. It drums up a different way of thinking. It drums up a different way of kind of creating a track, and those happy accents, like you say, just kind of pop out of nowhere, and that's really fun. That kind of keeps me going because, you know, once you go through something and you have a deep knowledge of it, you know, it stops. It becomes a function. It becomes a structure, and it becomes a thing that you know. And it's like, oh yeah, I can do that. I'll do this, and there you go, art, for example. And it's like, okay, that was. And you lose that creativity. So this is a nice way for me doing it, I think.
It's interesting you say that about, you know, those, like, I can only work with the key, like the keyboard, because that's what I've had to do.
He's back. He's back.
Did my audio go out this time? Yeah, I saw y'all freeze again. Yeah, I was like, come on. Okay. Well, it's funny you say that, though, because that's what I've had to do for the server challenge, is that I've had to actually use the keyboard because I've been working on it at night on my laptop with no MIDI keyboard. And so what I'm trying to do is only use those Mantra plugins, and it's getting trippy. But let's just bring up the server challenge before we go. And actually, there's one comment too, because you all are just admitting to your work if they ever find you, but hey, it's all right. Survey Chill says, that's what I do when I work from home. but it's cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone's working late to make up the time.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. Good point. Good point, Ian Lake. But so the server challenge. So the server challenge was born from a conversation between Abby and Curtis. And Abby, I saw you in the chat earlier. Sorry, I didn't get to share it. I think we were in the middle of something. But basically, they both love to write their long songs. And I can't seem to write a song over 4 minutes to save my life. And so we were discussing trying to figure out different ways to write outside of our normal comfort zone. And while taking the structures that we're used to, figure out how can we extend or shorten or, you know, elongate, whatever have you, to fit this opposing time duration that we don't normally work with. So the idea is over under 5 minutes. You have one more week to do it. We've got a couple people in the Discord, or a good number of people in the Discord, that are going to be submitting songs. It's not for any sort of thing. It's just a challenge to try and get you to work out of your comfort zone. So the idea isn't to create something, you know, like one long drone if you're trying to go over, but actually try to take your normal structure and figure out how can I flesh that out or condense it to fit this new format. And it's just to kind of get us thinking in different ways, just like these force limitations. This is a limitation. So like I'm doing an over five. I've got a rough draft that I might share to the Discord soon. That's, I think it's clocking in around 6 minutes, but I'm not sure about duration of the final part. But it's I know I'm trying. I was going for a 10 minute and I was like, exhausted. I got to 4 minutes and was like, I don't think I can make this thing any longer. And then I was like, I gotta go through this. So I added a new part. It's just, I always want to just add new parts, take away and just like call it. But I made the progression like 8 bars or 12 or 16 bars. Like it's super slow. It's at, I think, 74 BPM. So I tried to give myself some little cheats to at least slightly elongate it. But we're getting there, but it's clocking in near 6 minutes, so we'll see. But I'll try to share it once I feel like it's there. But it's a lot of drones and then some cool piano and stuff. But
an intro, man, 6 minutes.
Yes, yeah, yeah, I know. It's not long enough.
I make short songs. Yeah, you'll see tomorrow. The two songs I've got are 2 minutes long each.
Pick one sound that you like, you drop it all down to that, and you write something new to that, and then your song drops down to that thing, and then that. That carries on for a bit, and then a whole new song comes out of that part.
Yeah, but you have a week to write it.
Write another song.
You have a week to write it, all right? So the due date is March 27th. We're still figuring out, I don't know if we'll have like a hangout on the Discord and we can listen through to the songs or something. That might be fun. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. But I mean, we want to hear everybody's ideas and you're welcome to give some context and stuff. But if you want to join, just post in the Discord. I'm going to make a channel for the over under. And then if we do subsequent challenges, we can just keep it as a challenge thing. But so if you want to do to participate in the challenge, comment in there once I make it. We'll make it after this episode and then submit there. Don't submit in the works in progress, as I was saying, and Curtis had mentioned the collabs and contest thing. We'll make a separate one. Yeah, we'll make a separate one and it'll be just for this. That's the nice compromise there. And and we'll be good to go.
I got you. Makes a lot of sense. It's gonna be fun. It's 7 days, so this time next week, let's call it, let's say by the end of ADSN this time next week, and then we'll start going through them next week, and then we'll look
and we'll figure out
entering a chat.
I don't think we'll do it in ADSN, but maybe we'll do there's a voice hangout we have. I know we have a patron voice hangout, but if we'll make it, this one will be a public one. And we'll do like some kind of hangout and we'll go through everybody's stuff and all that. But you're welcome to submit it, obviously, and you should before we do that hangout. But so March 27th is the due date. Just, you know, if you're used to making over 5 minute tracks, do an under 5 minute track. If you're used to making short tracks like I am, over 5 minutes. So if you want to go an hour, if you want to go 2 hours, go for it. But yeah.
So that's five, under five, or under five, over five.
Over under five, I thought was the thing. Like over slash under. Look at us. We're so prepared. I think he's making the Discord channel, but look at that way.
That's what I've done. That's what I'm doing. Over under five. Wicked.
Yeah, there we go. So the channel is there now. We just said sometimes we have weird role permission things. So double check it's for Audio Nuts. but you should be seeing it over in the Discord. The Discord link is in the description. It's available to all. We just have additional channels for the patrons. And yeah, if you want to help support the show, obviously head to the Patreon and you can get in those channels. And Starstream for patrons is this Sunday, 11. No, actually it would be 12 because of this crazy time change. 12 p.m. Pacific, but normal time UTC and all that, because I don't think your time changes.
One more week and it'll be
different. Yeah. This is rough because it's 1:42 right now. I'm like 2 hours behind my first lunch.
If you are, when you get into, if you are getting into the Discord, I've just created the channel. Sometimes we do have things with permissions because we are not Discord server mods. We are just people who have Discord. So let us know you can see it. I've put a little message in there. Tell me if you can or can't see it.
I'm seeing it. It's in the music making section under Marketing Magic. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So we should be good.
Yeah.
All right. So head over there. Let us know if you're going to make a track and whether you're over or under. And then by March, I'll put in the description there, like all the info, but by March 27th, have your track. Can be just a demo, can be an idea. It doesn't have to be anything. I mean, you know, whatever, but we'll just hang out after that. We'll set a date. And we'll listen through to all of them and, you know, see what's up. Mm. Eon Lake is making a 20-second banger, I think.
Yeah. It's getting shorter each week.
On his MPC. All right, gentlemen, is there anything you want to cover before we get out of here? Eon Lake?
Yes. No. Sorry about the F-bomb. And, yeah.
I'll never forgive you, but then Curtis joined you, so I have to hate both of you now. No, it's all right. It's all good. It's all good. I think it's important that we express ourselves in stuff like this because it's ridiculous. So, you know, if Spotify and YouTube, well, Spotify is going to just burn our exposure because of that one. But if they decide to you know, hamper us because of that, then so be it. But if you want to help spread the word about the show, spread the word about the episode, you know, and what's going on and all that. Leave a like, because that'll help not affect us as bad. FCC, anything you want to add before we go today?
I feel like I need to make a really, really short track and add it to the group for next week, because most of my tracks are over 5 minutes. I find it hard to make a short track. So
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I'm very much looking forward to hearing what you've got, FCC, and massive thanks again for coming on today, for figuring out all that stuff. I know it took a while. Just for all of you watching, FCC, we and FCC spent a lot of time. Well, Curtis and FCC, I've been crazy busy, but I've spent a lot of time in the last few weeks trying to figure out getting the audio and stuff to work. So I hope you guys appreciated the video and all the information. I learned a lot from it. I've been wanting to know about your workflow in that. And so Tal Sampler is the way to go, I think. But it's not the sampler. It's the person that's using it that makes it matter. And it's seeing how you work through it is just crazy. So
yeah,
really appreciate that. And
it's not the tool. It's not the tools.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really good seeing that. And Curtis, it looked like you stopped typing. So I was trying to give you a second, but is there anything you want to add before we are off today?
No, just thank you ever so much for the people here. We really appreciate it. Thank you ever so much for tuning in. Yeah, that's all I have to say on the matter. It's wonderful to keep doing this in a week and time that gets more squeezed and more chaotic to come here on a Wednesday and go, hey, oh, I can be in my happy place. It's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I have one thing to add, and I'm almost hesitant to add it, but I'm still going to say it because all of the patrons and those in the chat had voted that we do updates to the Spotify playlist. So don't shoot the messenger, but the Spotify playlist has been updated and will be updated. It's, you know, we're not happy with how things are going with Spotify and things like that, but it's still a great way to support each other and just find new music and find our music and things like that. So if you want to check it out, I believe the link is in the description right now. I'll put it in there after. If it isn't, it's in the show notes if you're watching back on Apple or Spotify. Also, if you are watching back on those, give a rating if you enjoy the show. It helps a ton, especially with Eon Lake and Curtis's F-bombs. just crimping our exposure, whatever have you, but
count for my Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, if you do use Spotify or if you just want to go on the free and help support independent art and things like that, the link's there. And if you have music you want to submit, send it over my way or to the Audionautic socials. Someone did submit and I got to listen and check it out. We've gotten a few submissions. I just haven't had a second. So if you're watching and you did submit your music, I will be listening. Don't worry. It's just been a rough week. So with that, we will be back next week. Now, next week, there's still no time change, right, Curtis?
Yeah, it's a 12 guys... o'clock. Still one more week.
So one more time for the patrons, Starscream, 12 p.m. Pacific. And if you're in the U.S., add an hour from the normal. It'll be whatever this time is, that's when we go. So it was 12 p.m. for me here to start this. And then if you're the rest of the world or haven't had the time change yet, it'll be normal time UTC. But that's it. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.